Chronicles 7:14. You can turn to that in your Bible, or you can look at the front of your bulletin. It's printed there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray as we come to the throne of grace.
Father, we are here today on the Sabbath, the memorial of creation, to worship you, to praise you as the God of the universe, to thank you for all of the blessings of the past year and for the promise of the blessings of this coming year. And Lord, we pray most earnestly that this will be the year that Jesus comes. We're tired of this old world, Lord. We want to go home, but we know we have a work to do. And we pray that you will impress upon each one of us what we need to do. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill each one of us, to change us, to be more like Jesus, and to speak to those around us, family, friends, neighbors, strangers, and to point each one to Jesus. We pray for those that couldn't be here today because of sickness or travel. Pray that you'll be with each one, whatever their situation might be, Lord, and give them what they need today. Bless us as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. New decade, 2020. Wow. I don't know why, but there's just something about that makes me feel like something's going to happen. Maybe Jesus is going to come in 2020. Maybe a great catastrophe might happen in 2020. But for some reason, I just sense that 2020 is going to be different. And I think that, well, I desire... Well, I hope that we as a church can be different in 2020 than we've ever been before. I said prayer in our 2020 vision. Prayer in our 2020 vision. And that, let's just take a moment and review. Let's review what we talked about our 2020 vision. Valley View and Ashland Seventh-day Adventist Church's 2020 vision, to reach the unchurched in Medford, Ashland areas for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not our commission? Isn't our commission really to reach the lost? That's the number one job that Jesus has given us, each one of us, to proclaim him as our Savior. To reach the lost. What can we do? To heal hurts. To build dreams. To bring salvation to everyone around us, neighbors, friends, even those who do not want anything to do with God. The challenge we have is to introduce them to Jesus. To introduce them to Jesus. To make it a little bit simpler and cut it down, a clear-cut vision of 200 average attendance in 2020. Now, as I'm thinking about this, talking about that, I'm thinking that's really low. I mean, we average maybe 120 here and another 20 in Ashland. That's 140. That'd be, wow, 60 more people, huh? That's high. But in reality, if we would pray for the Holy Spirit in earnest and he was poured out, there wouldn't be enough room in our churches on Sabbath. The clear-cut vision, 20 small groups in 2020. Now, right now, we're starting out this week with 8. Starting out with eight. Let's see, some groups will have 3 or 4. Some groups will have 5 or 6. Some groups may have 8 or 9. But make sure you leave room in your groups for those who are trying to reach the lost. That's one of the main points of our small groups. We have 8. Our goal is to have 20. And you remember the chart I showed you, 4 in each district. We have 4 districts in the Medford area, and we have the district in Ashland, Tylent, and Phoenix. And so out of these 20 groups, we have 8. We're starting out with 8. So we've got 1 year to get that up to 20. I think we can do it. And one of the primary goals, in case I forget to tell group leaders, one of the primary goals is not only to reach the lost in your small groups, but one of the primary goals is to raise up new leaders. Because you do not want your groups to become stagnant. You want them to grow and multiply. But you can't multiply without new leaders. So I challenge those who are starting out with their small groups to make it a goal. This might sound interesting, different, but make it a goal not to multiply. That's not your goal. Your goal is to rise up new leaders. Because you can multiply, but it's going to be a flat multiplication if there's no leaders. So your goal is to help raise up new leaders. And those of you that aren't part of a small group yet or aren't thinking about it, I challenge you. I challenge you. God is asking us to move closer to one another. He's asking us to move into community, and there's not a better way to do it than in small groups. Amen. The voice of prophecy is excited. They are. I talked to a lady just last week, and she says, we are so excited what's happening at Valley View and Ashland. So they're watching us. They're watching us. Okay, number 3. Oh, boy. Connections lost. Hang tight. We'll get there. Number 3, 20 new members in 2020. 22 members. New members in 20. I'm not talking about transfers. I'm talking about baptisms. 20 new baptisms in 2020. So that's basically a part of our vision. Also, that every member will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every member, I mean, come on, some of you, they're just sitting there. Are you ready to be filled totally, completely with the Holy Spirit? That all our people will become spiritual tithers so the blessings of God will flow in our lives and in our fellowship. God cannot bless us if we're cheating him. If we're holding back. And number 3, that we will all learn to pray through and touch God in daily appointments with him. That's my emphasis today. You see, it's a given that we cannot maintain a church vision on our own strength. Especially this vision. This vision is impossible for us. Not impossible with God. You know, it'd be like going out and buying a a brand new, sparkling, shining car without a gas tank. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. You may have the latest things, but you're not going to go very far without it. All the structure, all the methods, all the plans, all the programs, all the materials will not make our vision successful. To be effective, it's only by God's power, not ours. And what's interesting to me is that God can work through us if we allow him to. God can work through us even if we don't have the talent to do what we're asking ourselves to do. God can do the impossible. We need to tap into God's power. Tap into God's power through prayer and through our daily walk with him. And then, and only then, will we actually see our vision accomplish and flourish. I'm going to ask the deacons now if they'll just hand out the Connect cards. Go ahead and hand them out. That way you'll have them ahead of time. And let's look at our text again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And I looked at this text and I looked at it and I said, would humble themselves and turn from the wicked way. Humble themselves. What does that mean? I think one thing it means is get real. Quit deceiving ourselves. Are we really connected with God? Are we really spending the time that God wishes us to spend with him? Do we have that connecting relationship with Jesus? Humble ourselves and admit, where are we in our relationship with God? If I were to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Everyone would raise your hands. But just because we believe that Jesus is our personal Savior does not mean that we have a living connection with him day by day. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Prayer is the key. Communicating with God is the key. Listen to this quote. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray? Why should the sons and daughters be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse? Who are treasured the boundless resources of the omnipotence? You know, there is no shortage in the power of God. None whatsoever. He can make anything happen. Anything. He can use our mistakes. He can use our successes to advance the work that he has for us to do. It doesn't matter who we are. If we're connected with him, he can make it happen. He can make it happen. When he's given first place in our lives and we're surrendered complete to him moment by moment, he is free to work in us, to work through us, and to work for us. And he'll use us individually to be a blessing to others. but only if we're truly connected with Him. Without unceasing prayer, did you get that? Do you pray continuously? Without unceasing prayer and diligent watching, we are in danger of growing careless and of deviating from the right path. Wow. The adversary seeks continually to obstruct the way to the mercy seat, that we may not be earnest supplication, by earnest supplication and faith, obtain grace and power to resist temptation. I'm going to ask you and myself something this morning, because I've come to the conclusion that we got to quit playing games. We got to quit kidding ourselves. And we got to, I think we need to dig deep in a relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you and myself this morning to begin 2020 into moving into a deeper relationship with God. That's all I'm going to ask for all of us. To spend more time in prayer and throughout the year than we ever have in our whole life. Catch that? If you're a prayer warrior, praise God, go deeper. If you haven't been in a prayer life, it's time to start. Because we're nothing. We're nothing without God. What I want for our church is to have an experience with God. Experiencing God, in order to accomplish this, we must be experiencing God ourselves, individually, before the church at whole is experiencing God. We must have a deep, consistent, growing relationship with Him. He should be number one in everything we have, in everything we think, in everything we do. Is He? Here's a few suggestions that I have seen that helped move us into a deeper relationship with God and staying there. Number one, examine where you are with God at this point. Where are you with God? Are you one with Him? Are there some things that kind of hold you back and you don't quite have that 100% trust? Young people, middle-aged people, old people. I ask you, think, where are you with God? Be ruthlessly honest with yourself. Take time. Take some quiet time and ask yourself, am I where God wants me to be in relationship with Him? Number two, make a decision to go with God to have an Enoch experience. An Enoch experience. You know the story, right? One time, a group of people asked a little girl to tell them the story about Enoch. And so she did. She says, Enoch used to get up every morning and go for a walk with God. And every day, they'd walk and they'd talk and discuss together. And what was interesting about Enoch is that every day he'd walk with God, he noticed that he and God would walk a little further each day. And pretty soon, Enoch would look at his watch and he'd say, well, God, I got a lot of things to get done today. I'll see you tomorrow. And God'd say, okay, you go, Enoch. The next day, they'd take a walk again. And every day, they continued doing that. Day after day after day, walking a little bit further. And then she says, and one day, Enoch stopped. He looked at his watch. He said, God, I've got to get back. I've got lots of things I've got to schedule today. And God says to Enoch, Enoch, you're closer to my home than yours, so come on home with me. Have an Enoch experience. If you discover you really don't have a desire to be close to God because maybe you're fearful, or you lack trust, or you feel guilty, or a thousand other things, then I ask you to pray that God will give you that desire in Him so complete that you cannot rest until you come into that oneness with Him. Make a decision to go deep with God and to have an Enoch experience. Number three, begin or continue with a daily time spent in prayer with God. Now, some of you, every morning, hopefully all of you, spend time with God. I'm asking you to think about giving more time to God. 5 minutes. Increase your time with God from your past. I'm challenging you, spend more time with God, even if it's only 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day. You know, wake up earlier if you need to. Turn off that late movie at night. Spend time with God. Change whatever you need to do, but give more time to God in 2020 than you have ever in your previous life, previous years. Work up to a block of time that will give you enough time to really connect with God. Number four, during this daily time with God, use it for connecting time, not study time. You know, we are great students of the Word. We dig deep in the Word. We want to understand, especially the prophecies. No, I'm not asking you, that's good, but I'm asking you, connect with God. Connect. What are some ways to enter into the presence of God, to sense His presence? We can achieve this through music. Many times in my time with God, I'll just sing. Yeah. Connecting with God. Yeah. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. Visualize God's presence and you there with Him and sitting there with Him and walking with Him. Find ways that you come to the throne of God and sense His presence. That brings us to number five. Carry the sense of God's presence into your entire day. Not just that moment, but the sense that God is there with us continuously, walking with us. Look at number six. No, this quote. Oh, that I could present before you and before the others of my brethren the necessity of an ever-abiding sense of God's presence. Do we sense God's presence daily in our lives, individually? Remember, the church is a church because of individuals. And the individuals need to start digging deep with God. Make God our unseen but felt companion. Turn to God during your day and share with him your frustrations. Share with him your good news. He needs to be our companion that we talk to with continuously. Presence. Determined to conscientiously bring every thought, every action into captive with God. Verse 6, learn to listen to God. I have a question. I've asked myself this question many times. If God were to literally speak to you, would you recognize his voice? We've got lots of voices going on in our heads, including those we don't want. Lots of temptations. Tremendous things that get done and accomplished. If God were to speak to you, would we recognize his voice? You know, I can remember as a young man, these young people have no idea what it's like, but remember the old telephone lines? You know, and I can remember as a kid, we had these lines and there were several other people on the line in different houses. Remember that? Daisy remembers that. And I could tell you a no-no that I did one time. I was actually dating this girl whose friend was my neighbor, and after I'd take them home from high school, I'd go and pick up the phone to see what they were talking about with each other. You could actually, if you pick the phone up quietly, you could actually listen to the conversation of your neighbors. Whew. Sure glad that's not the way to do it. God wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. Are we so clogged up and so busy that we can't hear his voice? That's the question. Let's learn to take time. And we got to take the time. We got to take the time and just listen. Listen to God, because we got to be careful too, because we can be easily deceived. So whatever you hear, you feel God is saying to you, it must always agree with Scripture. Because the devil would love to trick us on this one. Number 7, practice some spiritual disciplines. The different disciplines are prayer, meditation, Bible study, fasting, simplicity, heartfelt worship. Practice these differences, these disciplines, excuse me, throughout the day. Practice each one. Take time, stop, and think. Be quiet. Spend time with him. Meditate. Number 8. Practice being thankful and seeing blessings in everyday occurrences, including trials. That's the tough one. That's the tough one. You know, I preached on the book of Philippians for several Sabbaths. And Paul was always rejoicing in his trials, and I'm saying, why can't I rejoice in my trials? We need to rejoice when things are hard, because God is trying to teach us something or lead us somewhere. If we grumble and complain about our trials, we're not trusting God. Yeah. So practice being thankful. In seeing blessings in everything that happens every day, including in our trials. In our trials, sometimes God has a blessing for us, and sometimes he has a blessing for somebody else because of your thankfulness. Number 9, and there's only 10, so we're almost there. Share with your prayer partner your goals and desires, your need for God, and ask them to pray with and for you. Many of you have prayer partners. Some of you are in triads. Some of you are going to be in small groups. You have friends. Don't hesitate to ask them to pray for you. I praise the Lord the way this church responded this morning during prayers and pray. Praise and prayer. It was beautiful. There's no way that Robin could have stood up here and listed all those requests for prayers and then prayed for all of them. No, you prayed for one another. Praise God. Praise God. Share with others. Let others pray for you. And we'll talk about that more later. And number 10. This is a great one. This is a good one. This is one we never do as often as we should do. I never do it as often as I should do. But get away for an extended time of prayer. Get away. Go to the coast. Go somewhere. Go get a motel. Spend a 24-hour silent retreat at a retreat house or even a motel can put perspective back into the life and give you a boost. I'm saying take a segment of time. Plan it. And if 24 hours is too much, okay, do 2 hours. I don't care. But make it totally you and God alone. Could be a whole morning, a whole afternoon. In the summertime when the weather's good, go by a lake and just sit there. You and God. Just sit there. You and God. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Forget those dirty dishes. Yeah. Forget those tax forms and bills and the laundry. Spend a segment of time by yourself focusing on and with God. Oh, that I could present before you and before others and my brethren the necessity of an ever-abiding sense of God's presence. Are you willing to go deep with God? Move towards sensing his ever-abiding presence? Take out your Connect cards. Connect on your tech cards and write down a prayer request if you have them. Write down a praise report if you have it. And there's three areas that are check off, but only check off the first one. Ignore the other two because I'll talk about them next time. One of the things that you can look forward to is the prayer shield. I've given you 10 ideas on how to connect and sense the presence of God. Next time, I want to talk to you about develop. Each and every one of us need to develop a prayer shield where we are totally covered in prayer by others. But right now, I just want you to go deep by yourselves. I want to go deep by myself. I want 2020 to be a different year than ever before. Prayer must blanket everything we do and everything we are. As a people, we need to put a strong prayer shield around ourselves, and we'll be doing that next time. I'll tell you how to do that. But meanwhile, individually, I'm asking that you personally think how you can connect with God as never before in 2020. Father God, We want to be real. We want to be able to sense that presence of you in our life as never before. It's not about programs. It's not about activities. It's about you. Oh, Father, help us to experience that presence of you being with us moment by moment. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.